In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So here we are in volume 20, 125, 1927, and Jesus, it says, after this, Jesus made himself seen as a little child, staring at me so much as to remain as though impressed within me. He wanted me to look at him, but so much as to remain. I am myself impressed in him. Sorry about that. So here Jesus is making himself seen as a little child. He's staring at Jesus so much. And she's staring at Jesus so much. When you see Jesus kissing Louisa, he's like a father kissing his little daughter. When you see Louisa kissing Jesus, she's like a mother kissing the baby Jesus, the child Jesus. And this is so beautiful, this relationship between God and man, that God asks us to venerate him, to kiss him. And that's what we see in Christmas with the Pope kissing the baby Jesus. Jesus said to Louisa, basically, if you venerate me, if you kiss the cross, if you kiss the cross of Jesus, if you kiss the baby Jesus at Christmas, he says, I will accept it as you're actually kissing me. And the wonderful thing, this is not just some gimmick. It's to fall in love with Jesus, fall in love with him crucified, fall in him as the little baby Jesus. And that's the thing that is so amazing, is that he knows we're limited and he wants everything for us. So he says, if you desire this, I will accept it. So here he made himself seen as a little child, staring at me so much as to remain as though impressed within me. So he wants to look at us. He wants us to look at him. When the priest holds the Eucharist up, he says, look, here is the Lamb of God. It's not a time to look down. It's the time to look at Jesus, saying, you are my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my King. You're my Master. You're my God. When you're in front of the monstrance and you look at Jesus, as St. Teresa says, this is the only time where you can freely love God. Because when you get to heaven, you're going to see God as he is. You're going to fall on your face and adore him and love him and praise him and thank him and bless him and worship him. You're going to see God, and you're going to see how beautiful he is, how holy he is, how tremendous he is. So what does he do? He comes to us as a baby. He comes to us as the Eucharist, not to frighten us, but he says it's up to you. What do you want? And see, when we fall in love with God, this is the thing. And he shows us this. He says this. And he wanted me to look at him so much as to remain myself impressed in him. He impressed within me. We are impressed in him. Then all love and tenderness, he tells Louisa, my daughter, this is the true image of living in my divine volition. The soul copies the divine will within herself, and the supreme will copies the soul in such a way that your creator keeps a copy of your image impressed within his divine womb. He holds the soul so dear because he sees her exactly as he issued her from her origin. She has lost nothing of the freshness and of her beauty. His paternal features are impressed in this copy. In this copy, the paternal womb of God sings for him the praises of all creation with all his works, whispering continuously to his ear. Now, this is important for us. Louisa's whispering in the ear of Jesus. the baby's here. You made everything for me. You love me and love me so very much that I want to convert everything, everything into love for you. That's the rounds. When you go through the rounds of creation, every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, every grain of sand, every drop of water is an I love you to God. When you go through the rounds of redemption, every wound of Jesus, every tear of Jesus and Mary, every sigh, every sorrow that they went through is an I love you to us. And Jesus says, in the divine will, in the sanctification, as the soul enters into this sanctification of the rounds of creation, there's more I love yous. How can that be? We're taking everyone and everything, past, present, and future, as a human, and Jesus breathing in our breathing, Mary breathing in our breathing, one with Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and Eve, we give back to God what is God's in a divine manner. Jesus is doing this. What happens? This is an explosion of I love yous to the throne of God. This is what Adam did before he fell. This is how Jesus and Mary lived when they were here. This is the life that they gave to Louisa. And now Jesus is saying, I want to expand this I love you throughout all of creation with you also, one with me, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. This explosion of I love yous to the throne of God brings the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. It drives the evil one away. Why do you think everything's falling apart? Everything's falling apart because God's putting everything together. It looks like heck all over the place. But what's happening is God's saying, my kingdom is coming. I'm cleaning up shop. We've been living, if you want to say, in a shanty town. And Jesus is saying, I'm getting everything leveled because the new Jerusalem is coming. The kingdom of God is coming on earth as it is in heaven. And he's asked us to be alive at this time. So what does he say? This is our prayer to Jesus. Lord, you made everything for me. Lord, you loved me and loved me so very much that I, in return, want to convert everything, everything into love for you. I want all of humanity, all of creation, all of redemption, all of sanctification to give back to God this divine I love you. I want this explosion of I love yous coming, going to the throne of God. This copy is a portent of God in his womb. This soul, that's hopefully it's us, it's Louisa, but it's hopefully us as well, is the memory of all of God's works. This is the copy of the soul in God and the copy of God in the soul. And carrying out the divine life in humanity, in Louisa first. Our Lady possessed it as Theotokos, Mother of God. Jesus possessed it as Son of God. Now a human possesses this. And Jesus says, I want you to be one with this human, echoing what I echoed in her. How beautiful is the kingdom of my divine will, Jesus says, and nothing is dissolved in the all. That's us. We're nothing. God is everything. And he's saying, I want you to enter into the all of God. The all is fused in the nothing. The loneliness of the creature rises up to the divine height. The divine height descends into the depths of the soul. There are two beings clasped together, inseparable, transfused, identified. See, Jesus says, such that it can be barely recognized that there are two lives palpitating together. All the magnificence, all the sanctity, the sublimeness, the prodigies of the kingdom of my divine will shall be precisely this, the faithful copy of the soul in God and the copy of God, whole and beautiful in the soul. This is the marriage feast. This is the wedding feast. This is heaven on earth. Jesus says, I've got everything planned. He saved the best for last. He says very, very clearly, Therefore, children of the kingdom of the divine fiat shall be as many images of the little gods in my kingdom. We're not going to be gods, but we're going to reflect this beauty of God radiating in with, through, and for us as God wants this to happen. Volume 20, 9/2/1927. My divine fiat, more than son, feels like the king who is able to exercise his royal office. It feels as it has not only its subjects, but also its daughter, its sons, to whom it shall communicate its effects, its manifestations. So it communicates the likeness of the queen. And this is all its triumph. To transform the soul into a queen, to clothe the soul with royal garments. This is what God has planned. This is what God, why we're alive today. We're alive today to enter into this abundant life. Volume 21, 4/3/1927. My daughter, a will that does not love me freely, but by force means distance between creator and creature. It means slavery and servitude. It means dissimilarity. So God isn't forcing us. On the other hand, a free will. See, that God is saying to us, use your free will to choose to live in the divine will. Use your free will to embrace this divine will. No longer your human will. I don't want to live in my human will anymore. That's why when you pray your prayer in the morning, your prevenient act, I want to live on the human earth no longer. I want to live in heaven on earth from now on. And as you say this, as you repeat this, as it becomes part of you, the kingdom is coming. I don't want to live the things of earth. I want to live the life of heaven on earth. Jesus says, on the other hand, a free will that does mine and loves me means union between soul and God. It means sonship. It means what belongs to God belongs to the soul. It means likeness of divine sanctity, of divine love, of divine manner, so much so that whatever one does, the other does as well. Whatever one is, the other is also. This is why I created Adam with a free will, to receive this great honor that befits a God. God is doing this. Volume 21, 4/8/1927. From all this, you can comprehend how the primary purpose of everything that God did from the beginning of the creation of the world, and that what he does and shall do, is to form the kingdom of his will in the midst of creatures. These are our aims, God says. This is our divine will. And to these children shall all our goods, all our prerogatives, all our likenesses be given. God is going to do this. Volume 21, 3/18/1927. This is why I yearn so much that my divine will be known, that its kingdom come, to let the creature win and to place the soul as though at my level. Can you hear this? This is glorious. Without my will reigning in the creature, this cannot happen. There would always be a distance between me and the creature. She would be the one who loses, nor would she ever be able to praise and sing victory. The work of our hands would not have our likeness. So Jesus says, this is what's coming. Get ready for what is coming. Live this life that God has planned, the new Jerusalem on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus says in Volume 21, 5/4/24/1927. So everything the soul does, the release from herself, so many divine lives to fill both heaven and earth with as many images of divine life. She becomes the reproducer, the bilocator of the divine life. See, this is what Jesus says to Louisa. He says, bilocation is the gift that I give to my children in the divine will. What is this bilocation? It's not the bilocation of the saints. It's Jesus taking us where he wants to take us. It's Jesus reigning in us in such a way that the kingdom of God is established in us on earth as it is in heaven. The soul becomes the reproducer. The soul becomes the bilocator of the divine life. My divine will is not less powerful in the soul who in whom it reigns with the fullness of its dominion than it is within the womb of the three divine persons. See, this fusion is coming. This oneness is coming. Never to be separated to God from God. Never to be separated from God again. It's to enter into the communion with God, the communion that never ends. Therefore, possessing and bilocating virtue, and not only forms in the soul many divine lives as it wants, but forms in the soul its heaven, forms in the soul its sun, forms in the soul its seas of love, flowering fields, and makes the soul say to her God, heaven you have given me, and heaven I give to you. Sun you have given me, and sun I give to you. Seas and flowering fields you give to me, and seas and flowering fields I give to you. Your will repeats in me everything you have done for me in creation and redemption, so I may give you everything, just as you have given me everything. This is the rounds. This is how you pray the rounds. It's to fall in love with God, to give to God what God has given to us. This is the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies. Oh, power of my divine will, what can it not do in the soul in whom it reigns? Therefore, wherever the divine will reigns, the divine will delights in placing the soul at our level. The God says this. More so since it knows that it is our divine will, wanting the creature to be similar to our image. And our divine will, our faithful executioner, renders the soul such, and we, triune God, call this soul in whom our supreme fiat reigns, our glory, our love, our life. That's what he did with Adam before the fall. That's what he did with Jesus, the new Adam, and Mary, the new Eve. And now God wants to do this with us through the little newborn, Luisa Picaretta. This is a glorious time to be alive. Volume 22, 6, 8, 1927. How the steps of this chosen creature can be recognized. Now we're gonna recognize Luisa. And God, and the reason we're going to recognize Luisa is Jesus says, I'm going to manifest to the world who Luisa is. God's going to do this. How sweet is her treading. Luisa goes before her God, but Luisa never goes to God alone. She never goes alone. She carries the treading of the steps of all of humanity. Excuse me, within her steps. Luisa brings everyone and everything with her. Why? This was Adam's job. Adam lost it. Jesus comes to earth as the new Adam. Mary comes to the earth as the new Eve. And now they have the newborn Luisa, who can bring to God the human born of original sin, can bring to God the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, and all of humanity with her. Do you see what's coming? Do you see why we're alive today? God has given us the book of heaven. And as we read this, as we study this, as we put this into practice, great things are happening. Luisa's voice contains all the notes of all human voices. And oh, what a beautiful harmony Luisa forms in our will. Her heartbeat unleashes little flames for as many creatures as have come out of the to existence of life. Oh, how she, Luisa, delights us, triune God. We, triune God, amuse ourselves together. Luisa is our dear jewel. Luisa is the reflection of our divine works. Luisa is the image of our life. Where's Luisa in our life? Where is she? Jesus says, if you have Luisa, you have everything. What? We don't go to Luisa for Luisa. We go to Luisa because she possesses the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. She possesses this life of the new Adam and the new Eve. Oh, our dear jewel, the reflection of our works, the image of our life. Jesus says to us, go to Louisa. Pray with Louisa. Read with Louisa. If you get stuck on the divine will and you're reading, say, Louisa, what do you mean by this? What is Jesus telling you? And you might not hear it immediately. You might not hear it with your ears, but you will hear it with your heart, your mind, your soul. You'll hear Jesus say, this is what I have planned. This is what I want for mankind. And he'll teach you. Jesus and Mary will teach you through what they have taught Louisa. Volume 22, 7:16, 1927. My daughter, the soul who lives in my divine will has the wideness and the capacity to be able to enclose all the acts of God within herself, therefore becoming depository of the divine will. So here we have the first one since Jesus and Mary lived it, but the first one born of original sin who had the true life of Adam before the fall. Adam enclosed all the acts of God within himself. Adam became the depository of the divine will and he lost it. So Jesus comes as the new Adam. Mary comes as the new Eve. Why? To give to humanity, the newborn, what Adam lost. But even more than that, what we say on Holy Saturday night, oh, happy fall of Adam. Why are we happy about this life? Because God is giving us more than what he gave to Adam. We have Jesus as our Adam. We have Mary as our Eve. And now we have the newborn, Louisa, who, what is Jesus saying? All the acts of God are within Louisa, therefore becoming the depository of the divine will. We go to her to get the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the firstborn in the divine will, born of original sin, just like us, but the one God has chosen. Because of this, God finds in that soul the whole of himself with all his acts. Therefore, everything is sacred in her. Everything is holy in her. Everything is light and beauty in her. Everything she possesses has perfect balance, divine order. And I find, Jesus says, in her, the glory of my divine sanctity, of my divine light, and of my divine rare beauty. I look at Louisa, Jesus says, and I find the reflections, my dearest image created by me, as wanted by me, in the excess of my love. And I keep repeating how beautiful you are. My divine will has enclosed everything in you, Louisa. Jesus says, I want to say that in you and me. I want you to become more like Louisa. Learn from me and my mother, Jesus says, what we taught Louisa. Begin to live this abundant life that we gave to Louisa. And then I can say, how beautiful you are. My divine will has enclosed everything in you, like my daughter, Louisa, like my newborn, Louisa. Volume 22, 8:21, 1927. Before you would not follow all of its acts, you could follow the small circle of the acts in my holy humanity. Okay, so Jesus is showing us up to this point, we could follow the small circle of the acts of Jesus's holy humanity. He says, that is small in comparison to the acts of my divine will. And this is why each act, each pain of yours, which we're all going through, would make you encounter your Jesus. And I was all intent on making you a copy of my holy humanity. So he's already started in our lives to be a copy of his holy humanity. Therefore, it was necessary that I keep the brush in my hand. He's painting us in order to form my image in you, to dispose the canvas of your soul, to receive the vivid colors dipped in the light of my divine fiat. Jesus says, I'm going to make of all my little children the holy divine will, my divine masterpieces. Each one of us is going to become a divine masterpiece of God. God's going to do this. That's what St. Louis de Montfort says. In the final days, they'll be the greatest souls in the history of the church, history of the world. And it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. Don't say it's not going to happen to me, because God says it can't happen to you. You've already said no. See, Jesus looks like Our Lady. He looks at her response. Her response was, how can I please God? I've already vowed my life to virginity. How can I do this? And the angel said it would be through the power of the Holy Spirit. And she says, let it be done as you say. Total docility, total surrender, total submission. She gave her fiat in all situations. When Joseph said to her, Mary, we've got to go to Egypt. Herod wants to kill the baby. She didn't say, hey, we got a house in Nazareth. Let's go up to that house in Nazareth. She says, fiat, let's go. Her obedience, submission. When we do our human will, it's misery. We have to learn from Our Lady. We have to learn from what Jesus taught Louisa. Jesus told Louisa when she was 17, go to bed, stay there. She stayed there for the rest of her life at 17. When Jesus said to her, stop eating, she stopped eating. When Jesus said, stop drinking, she stopped drinking. When Jesus says, stop sleeping, she stopped sleeping. She was obedient. Which one of us could have done that? Oh, I can give up this. I can give up that. Not like Louisa. Not like Our Lady. Not like Jesus. These are the three that suffered the most. Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. Jesus crucified Louisa every day. Why would God do this? Because when God sees a soul that wants to be like him, he gives them the cross. All of us have the cross, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional. All of us have the cross. What do we do with the cross? Do we complain about it, drag it behind us, blame everybody else? Or do we say, fiat, let it be done as you say, you wish. So Jesus says, Psalm 22:8-27, no one can tell you the value, the power, what sanctity, what light, and immensity one act of my divine fiat contains, except your Jesus. So who's telling us what this is about is Jesus when we read the book of heaven. The only one who can possess a divine volition, can contain its acts, is Jesus. Therefore, only the fiat can raise the creature to divine sanctity, can raise the creature to divine nobility, that gives the soul the likeness of her God. All others, how good and praised because of their ability, ingenuity, doctrine, industriousness, shall remain always like earth, possessing neither the font of life nor of water, shall be given as poor beggars the effects of my supreme will. So Jesus says, only in the divine will can you begin to learn this abundant life. It's not with your ability and doctrine, industriousness. And that's always of the earth. See, this is why I said when you pray your rounds, when you pray your prevenient act, pray that you no longer participate in the things of earth. That your whole life is heaven. That we begin to live this abundant life of the divine will now on earth as it is in heaven. See, God is saying, I'm waiting for the souls who want the divine will more than anything. I'm waiting for those souls. So he's looking at us and he's saying, is this you? Do you want heaven more than earth? Do you want peace, joy, and happiness of heaven rather than the things of earth? And when we say yes, he goes, good, prove it. How do we prove it to God? By being peaceful, joyful, and happy. God is asking us in many, many ways. He's asking us to give our fiat to all that he has brought us into. And that's our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners, our jobs. He's the one that's in charge. And when we say yes, he goes, okay, now you got to prove to me that you are doing this in the divine will. And so what God does is He's going to teach us every day as we read, as we study, as we put into practice the writings of Luisa. So what does Jesus say? He says to Luisa, all your questions, every question that you have is found in the book of heaven. Jesus, the Word, speaks these words that have divine lives. He knows when you're going to read. He knows what you're going to read. He knows your docility and your surrender, or you're not being docile, not surrendering. He knows this. So when we can come to Jesus and say, Lord, how do you want me to do this? God says, good. Read, study, put this into practice, and I will teach you. God is doing this. This is a great time to be alive. 5:23, 9:21, 19:27. Because I have told you so many truths about my divine will, about the fiat, my divine will can be known in the world. So this is what's important. As you read this, as you study the book of heaven, someone in China begins to live it. Someone in Africa begins to live it. Someone in South America begins to live it. Someone in North America begins to live it. Why? What's happening? God is doing it. As because I have told you so many truths, so many manifestations, so many promises about these knowledges about the divine will, my divine will can be known in the world. The order, the peace, the light, the lost happiness is being restored all around the world, especially in you. As you read this, the peace, the joy, the happiness begins in you. When you stop reading it, you fall quickly back into misery, worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. Again, I can always tell someone who's not reading, they're miserable. They're all complaining, oh, this is happening and that's happening. Oh my God, what are we? Jesus, I trust in you. The final devotion God has given to his church. Why? The book of heaven has come. And as we read this, as we study this, as we put this into practice, everything changes. It's as Jesus says, the order, the peace, the light, the lost happiness is being restored to mankind because of you reading, studying, and putting this into practice. All these truths, Jesus says, shall bring mankind back on the lap of his God, his creator, that they may exchange the first kiss of creation and man may be given back the image, the likeness of the one triune God who created him. Everything's being restored. The one thing, the one phrase in the Passion of the Christ was when Jesus said to his mother, all things are being restored. God is doing this. 5:23, 9:28, 27. My divine will was to form as many lives of itself in each soul. And therefore, my divine will would place the whole of its ability and the infinite divine qualities it possesses in the exercise of working in the soul. So Jesus says, those souls that are focused on Luisa and the divine will, how beautiful these divine lives in the creatures would have been. In looking at them, we were to find in them our divine reflection, our divine image, the echo of our divine happiness. What joy, what feast creation would have been for us and for all of mankind. And now because of the book of heaven, Jesus is saying, these beautiful divine lives have begun again in us. Again, how do we recognize it? Jesus says, the sign that you can recognize the divine will reigning in you is peace, joy, and happiness. Let's just look at the things that are happening in the world today. In what way, when you see, hear something on the news that isn't quite accurate, isn't quite good, is it fiat? Let it be done as you say. Is it Jesus, I trust in you? Or is it doom and gloom? worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. See, Jesus is testing us. And he says, do you trust me? Do you trust me, Jesus says. The final devotion I get to my church before I return is, Jesus, I trust in you. Is that part of your life? And if we trust in Jesus, are you peaceful? Are you joyful? Are you happy? Are you receiving the divine qualities of life again that Adam lost? Or are you miserable? Are you the ones in your family that are saying to your family, God's going to take care of this. Don't worry. Trust in him. Believe in him. Have confidence in him. God is looking at us. He says this, I'm watching you. I'm spying on you to see whether or not you're putting into practice what I have taught Louisa. Or are these just words? Is this, when the priest says, may we share in the divinity of Christ, when he puts that drop of water in the chalice, are these just words? Or do you believe them to be true? Jesus says, I'm watching. He says this in volume 23, 10, 20, 19, 27. The most beautiful statues, the most important works are still to be made. We haven't seen anything yet. In Opus Sanctorum Angelorum, they say that the angels, there are sealed angels, bound angels. They're bound. They're sealed. They have such power. And their seals haven't been broken. One angel, the power that's in these angels, one angel, when the seal is broken, is more powerful than all the nuclear weapons going off at the same time. All of them at the same time. That's just nothing compared to this angel, these angels that are sealed. We haven't seen anything yet. Listen to what Jesus says. The most beautiful statues, the most important works are still to be made. That's us, what God has planned for us. The purpose for which creation was created is not yet realized nor fulfilled. And it is enough for a work to be lacking one point, one tiny little flower, one leaf, one shade, that it cannot have all the value, nor all that can nor can the one who formed that work earn complete glory. So he says, Jesus is saying, I mean, you've heard it. You haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything yet. And what we're going to see is the glory of God. Everybody's talking doom and gloom. God wins. There's nothing to be afraid of, especially in the divine will. There's nothing to be afraid of. God wins. We should be rejoicing when praying our rounds of creation, praying our rounds of redemption, praying our rounds of sanctification. We should be in heaven praying this on earth, glorifying God, worshiping God, praising God, because as Jesus says, the most beautiful statues, the most important works are still to be made. And he says, more so, since the work of our creation is just not one point that is lacking, but the most important things are varied divine images of divine beauty, divine sanctity, of perfect divine likeness to ourselves. He says, this is what's lacking. Who's that? Who has these divine images of beauty, sanctity, perfect likeness of God? It's the little children in the holy divine will. We haven't seen anything yet. Jesus says, I'm going to show the world who she is. The world's going to shake when they see Louisa. The world is going to shake when we see what God is doing. What are we going to see? We're going to see a human who basically has the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. He said to Louisa, everything I have, I give to you. The only thing Louisa doesn't have is the resurrection of the body. You have to understand, we haven't seen anything yet. The angels haven't, their seals haven't been broken. These angels have been like this from the beginning, waiting for God to say yes. And then the world is transformed. We haven't seen anything yet. Glory is coming. Magnificent things are very, very close. So what Jesus is saying to us is, I want my children dressed for the occasion, royal garments. That's what he's saying to us. I want you ready for what I am going to bring upon the earth. The new Jerusalem is coming down from heaven. This is a great time to be alive. God's got great plans. Volume 23, 11, 10, 1927. You must know. Again, you must know is a command from Jesus. You must know this. That's why if you go to luisapicaretta.me, you can download the book, You Must Know. Every place in the 36 volumes where Jesus says, you must know this, we learn. What is Jesus? He says, you must understand this to embrace the divine will. You have to know this. This isn't just about reading a novel. You're to read it. You're to study it. You're to put it into practice. He said that the first model of creation was the supreme being, God Almighty, holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, in which Adam was to model all of Adam's acts with his creator, with his God. The second model was to be Adam, within which all his descendants were to model themselves. But because Adam withdrew from my divine will, since my divine will and its unity were missing in Adam, Adam lacked the brushes, the colors, the raw materials to be able to make models in the likeness of his God. Poor one. How could he form models with the very divine form when he no longer is in possession of the divine will that was administered to him, the ability to do it, as well as everything that was needed to be able to form the very models of God? So Jesus says, I'll give you a hint. He says the third model is you, Luisa. We're going to go back to what God wanted for all of humanity because of Adam's fall. Jesus and Mary come as the new Adam and the new Eve. Jesus and Mary bring this divine life back to humanity. We're redeemed. And now Jesus says we have the newborn. Wait till you hear. This is in the next part of this. I think it's part three, you're going to hear what Jesus has done with Luisa. And now what he wants to do with us. That's why we're alive today. We haven't seen anything yet. Glory is coming. The kingdom is coming. The new Jerusalem is coming. The new heavens and the new earth are coming. We haven't seen anything yet. So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Luisa. And we pray that all the little children in the holy divine will be divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.